Welcome to Voices Love of Freedom. Talk Radio. All right, we're coming at you a little bit earlier than normal today, but nothing wrong with that. Let's get started, get in here and see what Jesus wants us to know, and look forward to going to Sunday school in the morning, right? So that's where we'll go with that. And the beautiful thing is that you don't have to be awake right now to listen to this. As we post it to Facebook, you got all day to check in on us and to hang on 1 second. You've got all day to check in on us and listen to this, pass it on to friends, and just tell folks, you know, hey, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you are. I don't know. But here's what I like to be able to do is I like to be able to tell you about Jesus. And here is somebody that teaches a lesson that he might not sound the greatest or he might not have the greatest speaking voice, but what he does do is he just teaches straight out of the Bible. And that's probably one of the things that we need to make sure more than anything is that we are doing it. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to start there and we're just going to leaf through a few verses. Because for me to say something, hopefully doesn't mean very much to you. But when I say, hey, turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, hopefully at this point, then it starts to mean something, and you start to be able to see that it's real, because God has had it put down in the Bible. He's had it written down by Matthew the tax collector. And we know it's true because it's been able to stay together for a couple thousand years. So Matthew 1, verse 21, the verse reads like this, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Boy, I tell you what, I was born with a sin nature. I'm not the only one. It says in Romans 3:10 and 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none good, no, not one. So what's the problem? Problem's really simple here, okay? We got to recognize Jesus, and the reason he came was to save his people from sin. Doesn't get any better and any easier to understand than that, does it? So we won't spend a lot of time on that. Well, I mean, if there is a verse in the Bible that's any easier to understand, I don't know what it would be. He came to seek and save those that were lost. He came to save those that were weak and that realized their weakness. Until I realized my weakness in March 1997, God couldn't do a thing in the world with me. But the moment that I realized my weakness, Jesus was happy to come on the scene and save me. That's pretty good stuff. 19:10 in Luke is our next verse. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hey, I just quoted that when I knew that verse. Luke 19:10. Why does Jesus come into the world? As the Son of Man, he's come to seek and to save those that were lost. And in another place, probably the next verse we read, but another thing he does is, he doesn't come for those that know everything or think they know everything or whatever. He's coming to save those that recognize they're lost. Once again, until I recognize that I'm lost and I recognize the things of Jesus, it ain't going to work. Okay, and that's where we're at in this world today. I think a lot of people are going around with head knowledge thinking, well, we got this covered, you know. I know in my head what these verses say, but they're not in my heart. They're not producing any fruit or any action from me. So in John 3:16, our next verse, now we start to get a view of what God's master plan was. It says, "For God so loved the world, so with all the sin and all the aggravation and all the treachery that God could see in the world, he still loved the world." Right? He loved it so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How about that? You ever stop and think about that for a minute? not only does Jesus come into the world because God loved the world, but because I believe on Jesus. See, I don't have to do any work on getting saved. But when I get saved and see that Jesus was sent for me specifically, that whosoever believeth in Jesus should not perish, but will have everlasting life, I should get a little bit excited about that, right? Why? It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. See, what we were owed there, and we've said this verse a few times this week, Romans 6:23, I believe, the wages of sin is death. I deserve death. What I deserve in the whole scheme of things is death. That's just the way it is. But when God sends his Son, and we're all guilty and should have been put to death based on the rules and the laws and the sin nature, God didn't come to condemn us. He made a way, see, that the world through him might be saved. The most heartbreaking thing in all the world is to realize that Jesus Christ, man, oh man, he died for every person that's ever been born. And very few want to hear it. I think for very few to want to hear it, it means to me that the people that you're looking at that are Christian in your life are not very Christian. Because if you look at the Christians I know, a lot of them, man, you want what they have. You just want it. And the fact to look at this thing and say, well, I'm not interested in Jesus, or I'm not going to listen to that, or I don't want to hear about it, don't tell me how to get to heaven. Really? I just don't think we're doing it right. And I may be wrong, but I believe that's a big problem today, is the people looking around. I believe the devil's got these TV preachers, and I think some of them may be good, but the devil's got a lot of them on there that are just turning people off. He's got a lot of them on there that have transformed into an angel of light, but basically they're just demons. And you better pay attention to this. So to go on with the Savior of the world this morning, let's get back into John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14 is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. Jesus again. Now, Jesus was the one that gave us the last verse there in 19:10 in Luke, where he said he came to seek and to save those that were lost. Now Jesus again, talking about being the Savior of the world, talking about let not your heart be troubled there in John chapter 14, verse 1, comes all the way over to verse 6, and he says, I am the way. How important is it? I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, there's just many ways to heaven. Boy, that went around here for a while, but it didn't last long. There are many different ways, there are many different denominations, there are many different thought processes, there's many different denominations, there's many different spiritual ways to get to self-fulfillment or whatever you want to call it. That's not what I'm reading right here in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way. You can throw the whole Bible here, 1,900 pages, in the trash right now if Jesus is not the way. But if Jesus is the way, you better pay attention. And that's kind of where we're at on this thing. If we'll look around and get a real good glimpse of some things, I don't think it'll take us very long to realize that Jesus Christ has a master plan for our lives. He wants us to come out of this thing and do something and be ready to do something for him every single time he needs it. Because what he needs us to do is go to the world, because he came into the world so that the world could have life. He's gone away, and he's charged us or commissioned us to go and tell people. And we're not doing a very good job, or we're not telling it the right way. And that's another one of the little issues that we've got going on. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. What does it mean? It means a lot of people aren't going like they're commanded to do. Can you imagine where we'd be if Noah had not built the ark as he was commanded to do? See, we're commanded to go into all the world, go into our community, go to all these places and tell all these different people. You see what I'm saying? We're commanded to do these things. And guess what? We're not doing them. Acts 4:12, let's read this one. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no way for you to salvage your life to get yourself out of hell other than by believing in Jesus. So neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. There's no other name. Right? So at the end of the day, the Savior of the world, the one who loves me more than anything, the one who died in my place, the one who took my beating, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercessory prayer for you and me today, wants a relationship. He wants a relationship with you and me. Great. Dave, you got anybody like that wanting a relationship with you? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say I don't. And I say, well, Lunsford, you got all kinds of friends. You know, I don't know. Maybe, I guess. Romans 5:8. Let's go through this here. I want to get through these, and I'll let you get on with your weekend. But these are important verses. They're the verses that are telling you that Jesus is the Savior of the world. So if he can save the world, I guarantee he can save you just fine. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How about that for a second? Romans 5:8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I couldn't do anything for him. I was separated from him from birth, born with a sin nature. But what is it? What's the plan? What's the program? What's going on? God commended his love toward us. He showed his love in a way, for God so loved the world, we talked about in John 3:16. But there's more, okay? But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. You ever have somebody says, well, I'd do something for you, but you got to do something for me. See, God didn't say that. God said, I love this world. I love the people of the world. I want the people to separate themselves out of the crazy of the world, so I'm sending my son. And they'll call his name Jesus, right? And that's how this thing progresses. You and I have an opportunity to do something fantastic for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you right now, we better get to it. We better get moving on it. Ephesians 1:7, I got two more and I'll let you go. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus Christ is who they're talking about here. We have been redeemed because Jesus paid the price. The price was his shed blood, was the propitiation or the antidote maybe for the sin of the whole world, or could pay the sin debt for the whole world, right? So through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The forgiveness of sins, you can't get that without the shedding of blood. Before Jesus, it was all symbolic. But now with Jesus, Jesus is getting ready, or at this time he has already done it. He has shed his blood for you, man, oh man. That's good. How does it work? Through the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The grace is an unmerited favor. When God said he loved us even though that we were sinners, that's an unmerited favor we had with God, because merit means I earn it. Unmerited means I didn't earn it. So the unmerited favor is all of God's riches at Christ's expense. See, because we're going to be joint heirs with Jesus. We're sons of God. As many as have been called and have received Jesus Christ, we have been made known as sons of God. Now, what do we got here? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. See, God let us know his will. God showed us that he loved the whole world, all the people of the world, and he wants you all to come. But we just will not surrender. I tell you, we've got to really be careful here. Because our problem is we're just not responding to Jesus in the way that we should be responding. And guess what? That's not just one or two. That's every single one of us. Right? Now, where are we at now? We've got the last one, which is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, talking about Jesus as the Savior of the world. And it says, he that has son has the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's as simple as it can get, isn't it? You want life, you want it more abundantly, you want something you can't get on your own, you want an opportunity to see Jesus, to be what Jesus wants you to be, this is how you do it. Well, I tell you what, it ought to get us excited, shouldn't it? Listen, I wish you the best. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.